microphone. I got to find the controls. Good morning. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your presence here, your sweet presence, Lord. Oh, we need you so much, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you just open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. I just pray, Lord, that you'd fill this place with your love and your spirit and your presence. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every once in a while on Facebook, something pops up. Things have a way of repeating themselves on Facebook. Advice from the old farmer. And there's one piece of advice that he gave that kind of stuck with me that I wrote down. Life is simpler when you plow around the stump. Sometimes that goes against our nature, doesn't it? Oh, not me. There's this man that wanted to join a monastery, and he wanted to be a monk. And so he goes and he applies. And, you know, they'll accept him, but they said there's one rule. Well, you have to take a vow of silence. Every 5 years, we'll let you say two words. And so he says, okay. So 5 years go by, and they call him in, and they say, you can say two words. He said, food's bad. So they said, okay. 5 years goes by. They call him in again, tell him he can say two words. He says, bed hard. Okay, so 5 years later, they call him in again. They said, he can say two words. He says, I quit. And they said, well, you know, it doesn't surprise us. We saw it coming. You've been complaining ever since you've been here. King David in Psalm 37, verse 25, which is one we didn't read, but this, he said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous, but have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I have been young and now I am old. Obviously, he was old at the time he wrote this. You know, if you compare this to his son, what he wrote in his old age, there's quite a bit of difference. If you read the whole psalm, and I hope you do, I hope you have, you'll see that it's a very uplifting psalm. But Solomon, in his old age, he wasn't very uplifting. I've told people many times that if you feel depressed, don't read the book of Ecclesiastes, because it'll just... It's written by a very bitter old man. Solomon starts out in Ecclesiastes 1, 2, and 3. He says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That means everything's empty. It's meaningless. What profit hath a man of all his labors, which he taketh under the sun? Solomon had everything. I don't think he was ever denied anything a single day of his life. He grew up in a palace. He didn't have to know war like his father did. He didn't have to know hardship, hiding out in caves the way his father did. 2 Chronicles 9:13 talks about how rich he was. Starting in verse 13. Says the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Now a talent, a regular talent, is 75 pounds. A royal talent is 150 pounds. So what that comes out to 666 talents of, that's an interesting number, isn't it? 666 talents of gold is about 100,000 pounds of gold a year. If you break that down into ounces, it's 1.6 million ounces. I don't know what the rate is right now for gold. I think, what, 1,500? Is it 2,000? That makes it even more. My calculations are based on 1,500. I don't have to worry about what gold is worth. But it comes out to, at 1,500, it comes out to about $2.5 billion a year. He reigned for 40 years, so that's $100 billion. That was just his base pay. Verse 14 says, beside that which chapmen and merchants brought, and all the kings of Arabia and governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon. They wanted to be his friend, so they brought him gold. Verse 17, moreover, the king made a great throne. Oh, this talks about his, everybody got a favorite chair that they like? A recliner? I got a recliner. It's comfortable. Put my feet up and rest, and usually puts me to sleep or helps me to sleep. Here's Solomon's favorite chair. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. And there were six steps to the throne with a footstool of gold which were fastened to the throne. And stays on each side of the sitting place and two lions standing by the stays. And 12 lions stood there on the one side and on the other upon the six steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. Throne of ivory, overlaid with gold. Doesn't say he had a cup holder, though, does it? Actually, he had people that would hold his cup. Let's see. And all the drinking vessels of King Solomon were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was not anything accounted of in the days of Solomon. Silver was virtually worthless as far as he was concerned. For the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Haran. Every 3 years once came the ships of Tarshish bringing gold and silver, ivory, and apes and peacocks. He had a business enterprises on the side. He had shipping. He sold horses from Egypt. And King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. I believe he was probably the richest man that ever lived. That's my personal opinion. Because if you figure out everything else, that he probably earned over $1 trillion, the equivalent of $1 trillion in his lifetime, I would think. A trillionaire. He had many building projects. He acquired servants. He had animals. He had wives. Like 1,000. Hard to keep track of birthdays and anniversaries, isn't it? All the little honey-do notes on the refrigerator door, you know. He experienced wine. He had incredible riches. He had everything. Ecclesiastes 2:10 says, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. He didn't deny himself anything. Verse 17, therefore, I hated life. Doesn't make sense, does it? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What's important? This is a recipe for misery. But that's all I'm really going to say about Solomon. He might creep into the sermon here and there. I don't know. But I'm going to talk about David in Psalm 37. Because Psalm 37 is actually a recipe for peace and tranquility. And we need that a lot more than riches, don't we? We really do. Especially with the way the world's going. Psalm 37. I'm going to read the same verses that Wayne read. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. I just want to mention that God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I will recompense. That's a promise. It doesn't mean I might. That means that there's evil in the world. He's going to deal with it. That should be a comfort to us, shouldn't it? Because there is evil in the world. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked deviseth to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And verse 34 says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Excuse me. Oh, there's something in the air. It seems like there's always something in the air in Quartzsite, isn't there? Psalm 37. There's a progression here. There's steps. Each step leads to the next, which in turn leads to the next, which in turn leads to the next. It starts out, fret not. We see that three times in this chapter. Verse 1, verse 7, 8. Fret not. Fret in the world, according to the dictionary, means to worry, be concerned, irritated, or upset. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, sounds great.
Thank you. But according to Strong's Concordance in the Bible, it's a little stronger word than that. It means to be incensed, to be wroth, to be inflamed with anger, to burn up. I don't know about you, but I find it very easy to get caught up in things that are going on. Very easy to do. And that has a way of building up. Fret not. Cease striving. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust. The book of Colossians says, trust is faith. And it is, because it requires faith to trust. We base our trust on God has proved himself to us, hasn't he? Over and over again. Trust in the Lord and do good. Doing good is putting your faith in action, putting your trust in action. James says, faith without works is dead. Show me your faith by your works, by the way you live. Faith. It always begins for us with faith, doesn't it? That's the start. Here's a song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. Another song says, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Everything's under control, isn't it? Trust in him. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. To lean on something is to allow something to support us, and our understanding isn't going to support us. God will, if we trust in him. Life can be hard. Life can be disappointing. With all its changes and with all its surprises, sometimes a plumbing can surprise you. In case you didn't know, a couple of us have been out there digging in the dirt, fixing our plumbing, but the Lord was with us. Life can sour us. It can harden our hearts. Life can cause us to despise life. But if we learn to see God in everything, actually that kind of tells us we're supposed to look for God in everything, doesn't it? If we learn to see God in everything, that's going to take away the confusion. That's going to replace it with order. Because our God is a God of order. I remember about 20, 25 years ago when I was living in Oregon, our little town I lived in, Prineville. There was a bad accident. This woman and her children were stopped at a traffic light. It wasn't really one of the main streets. But someone came up in another car and totally ignored what was going on. I think there's a cell phone involved and rear-ended her, and it killed her. And I think it killed maybe not all the children, but killed some of them. But when it happened, I thought, why? This young family, this totally, you know, the husband without the wife, without the children. Why? And that's an easy way to react, isn't it? But I felt the Lord was telling me there's order in this. Because God is a God of order. There's order in everything. Creation screams that at us, doesn't it? Look at the solar system, the way it's organized. Everything just in its place. Look at bees and flowers and the relationship and the working together, what they do. The water evaporates and goes up into the air and forms clouds, and then it rains back. Everything works together because with God there's order, and He designed it. He put everything in His place. He put everything in place in our life too. Because in spite of what we might think, God's order is working in us. God's order is working in our world. Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Our steps. There's order in our steps. Even some of the things that we go through or we put ourselves through, God uses that, doesn't He? We can't do anything to surprise God. I seem to have lost my place. I know there's order here or something. Oh, yeah, there it is. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? Put Him first? That's a very good answer. Delight yourself in the Lord. We sang about it. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. There's a battle going on, isn't there? There's a battle between our flesh and our spirit. They contend with each other. They want control of us. They start out by just wanting our attention. Once they have our attention, they have our focus, and they can guide us and direct us in that. So what do we focus on? What are we supposed to focus on? Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." All these things will be added unto you. "Commit thy way," or "delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart." What's important? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everybody know what the first commandment in the Ten Commandments is? Do you? And the first, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Actually, that commandment starts one line before that. "I am the Lord thy God." That is the first commandment. The other part of it is part of it, but that's like a commentary on it. "And yes, you shall have no other God before me." That doesn't mean you put him in front of all your other gods. That's not what he's saying. When he says, "Y'all shalt have no other gods before me," he's saying literally, "In my face, you will have no other gods." Period. Delight. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight means to take pleasure in, to enjoy, to rejoice in. But there's something more. And Bob hit it. In the Strong's Concordance, it also means to be soft, pliable. That doesn't seem to fit, does it? You have to think about it, but then you realize it really does. He has to be able to work with us. And we have to be soft and pliable. God told Moses that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. I know there's a lot of different opinions about that, but when I think of that, or when I read that, I think that the things that God did to Pharaoh would have softened somebody else's heart. Somebody maybe that was pliable, someone that maybe God could reach. But God knew that Pharaoh wasn't that way. How can you delight in the Lord when bad things happen? Because God tells us to. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I just ran out of gas. Thank you, Lord. You know, there's truth in that. We don't know what would have happened if we kept going. I think we talked about this the other day in devotions. We have to look beyond our circumstances, don't we? Because, as I said earlier, God is a God of order. He will give you the desires of your heart. Hey, we're all getting Lamborghinis. No, not a Lamborghini. You know, they say you can't have everything. Where would you put it? Solomon. Which would you rather have? Everything you want, or everything he wants you to have? That kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? I want the desires of my heart to be the desires of his heart. That is my heart's desire. I don't want anything that he doesn't want me to have. Yeah, it'd be nice to have a new pickup, but on the other hand, if he doesn't want me to have it, I don't want to be out there driving it. You know, that's no. I want my desires to be in tune with his. Psalm 73:25 says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee." Because if I lost everything else, I'd still have him. Job knew that, didn't he? Because he lost everything. Naked I came into the world, naked I'll go out of the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's His anyway, isn't it? Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Literally, roll thy way upon the Lord. Life is heavy, isn't it? Sometimes you got to move a rock and you can't pick it up. What do you have to do? You roll it. Sometimes our life is too heavy when we bring it before the Lord. Sometimes we literally have to roll it to Him. Elijah in the wilderness. The angel of the Lord fed him and said, eat. The journey's too great for you. By ourselves, the journey is too great for us. Arise and eat. Partake of the things of the Lord. Let Him take care of you. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. That makes me think of the two animals that are yoked together going around in a circle. One of those animals is always working a lot harder than the other one, isn't it? The one on the inside just barely has anything to pull. Well, that's us. The one on the outside doing all the work really is the Lord. In Acts 9:6, the Apostle Paul had an experience. He encountered the Lord the first time he met Him. He was knocked to the ground. And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. What did Paul do? He said, what do you want me to do, Lord? From that point on, he recognized who he was. He recognized that he had to commit himself to the Lord. And he did. 2 Samuel 5:17, David, when he became king, the Philistines attacked. That happens a lot, doesn't it, when God blesses us with something. The enemy comes and tries to take it away. But David went to the Lord. He was being attacked by the Philistines. He went to the Lord and he said, how do you want me to do this? And the Lord said, I want you to go up and attack him. David did, and he won. Short time later, the Philistines attacked again. Now, a lot of normal people would have said, well, this is the way it worked last time. This is the way I'm going to do it. But David said, what do you want me to do, Lord? How do you want me to do this? The Lord said, I want you to go around them. Surround them. Encompass them. And attack them that way. And David did, and he won. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. You know, it must have been, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, I started doing something just about every morning. When I get up in the morning, I ask the Lord what shoe He wants me to put on first. Sounds kind of stupid, doesn't it? But yet it's a reminder to me just how dependent I am on Him, or how dependent I'm supposed to be on Him. Commit your way to the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. There's that word fret again, isn't it? As I said, it's in there three times. Rest in the Lord and wait. Wait patiently. It literally means to travail with pain. It's like a birth pain. I've never experienced it myself, but from what I understand, birth pains are there's a waiting involved in it. You know something's coming. Is the pain worth it? Well, I heard one person say yes. That makes you wonder. Rest in the Lord. Literally, be silent, be still unto the Lord. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I know if you're keeping track, that's three weeks in a row I've used that verse. But that's okay, isn't it? Be still. Once again, cease striving. And know that I am the Lord. How can we find rest amidst the turmoil of our lives? When everything seems to be going wrong. By remembering that no matter where we find ourselves, God is there. No matter where you're going to be tomorrow, no matter what your situation is going to be tomorrow, God is already there. God isn't limited by time. He can be in the midst of our next problem. He already is. He's there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's what's important, isn't it? Psalm 94:19, in the multitude of my thoughts, or in the multitude of my anxieties within me, thy comforts delight my soul. I think the key words in that verse is within me. The anxieties within me. Where we're living. John 16:33, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. No, that's not right. He said, in me you'll have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. A lot depends on where we position ourselves, doesn't it? We're going to position ourselves in the world. We're going to experience a tribulation. That doesn't mean we won't have problems if we go the other way. In me you'll have peace. No matter what we're going through, we'll still have peace, won't we? But we have to remember, we can find this rest, we can find this peace, only if we follow and practice each step in this passage. Fret not. That talks about our attitude. It also talks about our reaction to it. Chuck Swindoll said, I may get the percentages a little wrong. I think he said it was, our attitude is based 20% on what happens to us and 80% on how we react to it. It could be 10 and 90. That's, you get the idea. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust goes along with fret not, doesn't it? Because we're really going to cease from fretting. That requires trust. So it all starts with trust. It all starts with faith, as I said earlier. Trust in the Lord and do good. Doing good is our response to trusting Him. Delight yourself in the Lord. To delight, we can't delight in the Lord unless we trust Him, can we? Trusting in Him and delighting in Him leads to the next step, committing our way to Him. All the way, our ways to Him. And these all lead to the next step, resting in Him. Resting in Him, where we position ourselves. Resting in Him. My peace I leave to you, not peace as the world gives. He gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that we can't understand how it could be. How can I have peace in the midst of this storm? In the midst of the storm, Jesus shouted out, "Peace, be still." I don't believe he was speaking just to the storm. I think he was speaking to the disciples too. I think he's speaking to us too. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the peace that you do provide us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. As we go through everything we go through, Lord, you're with us. Lord, we just want to continue in your presence and in your peace. We just want to continue in your will. May your ways be our ways, and may everything we do bring glory to you. Lord Jesus, be with us as we go our way, guide our steps, and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.